sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
Shut up!
You cannot talk!
Episode 192. Cold nights and bloody days. Welcome, bienvenue, à un autre episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka MrShutUpPodcast.com, aka La Grand Papa B, aka Gaston Lebanon. Before I start the show, I want to let you motherfuckers know that it's hot in this bitch. Sorry. But it is hot. I want to give a heads up to you listeners that have joined us that this podcast happens to be a safe space for my thoughts. And it's protected by the red, the black, and the green. In collaboration with the red black, and the red blue. Rouge bleu's up in this bitch. I represent and hold it down for the kind of black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario, Télé Québec, and the kind of black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question,
Are you an outcast?
Give it some thoughts. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Word up. I said fuck you too. Yeah, man. Yeah, right, okay. Disclaimer. That's the word I meant to use. Disclaimers. Okay. All right. Let me get organized, my thoughts. Should I mention that it's hot in here? Il fait très chaud ici, so retire tes habits. All right, and new listeners, just to help you get familiar with this podcast, I'm actually more organized than I sound. Nah, that's bullshit. I'm not organized. I'm all over the place. It requires a lot of patience to be a listener to this podcast. Matter of fact, I'm kind of surprised you're paying attention. With that said. Just to help you get organized, just to help you get familiar, I like to break down my episodes into three parts. Acts, if you will. The first act is the intro. Second act is news and random thoughts. And the final act is final thoughts. Okay? All right. And in the intro, so far what you've heard is the theme song, to the title of today's episode, and greeting followed by a disclaimer. Mainly for white folks. I mean, it's a disclaimer for everyone, but it's also in a polite way saying, stay out of black folks' business. Stay out of this black guy's business. With that said, another thing I like to do in the intro is, follow up with a saying. And this time it's going to be a little bit of, it's a brief poetry by a content creator. Her name is Raquel Martin, PhD. Oh, I guess I mean Dr. Raquel Martin, PhD. I like when I use the title doctor. Not for Drake. Fuck that nigga. I mean for black folks who've earned it. Excuse me. Dr. Raquel, PhD. And she shares this poetry with us that I heard that I felt the need to share with y'all. And it goes a little something like this.
Here's a poem I made for my patients who struggle with what to say when they receive unsolicited advice. Dogs like to bark. Mm-hmm. Birds like to sing.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember asking you a goddamn thing.
Words of wisdom. Words of wisdom. Words to live by. All right. This concludes the intro. So let's jump to the second act. All right. You motherfuckers ready? All right. Let's go. Get off your seats. All right. Let's do this. All right. Okay. Sound device is cooperating. Damn fascists. Before I start with random news and random thought, I got a bitch about the fact that this is a work week. Did I mention it's August 1st? Oh, fuck. Did I really forget to say today's date? Oh, man. Shame on me. Right. This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on August 1st, 2024. 2024. Wednesday, August 24. And apparently it's Emancipation Day. Yeah, August 1st. Right. Yeah. Okay. Where I was getting at is it's a work week. So I got off work. And, okay, that's a lie. If you follow me on Instagram, you know that I was watching, I'm not done watching because it's a 3-hour essay by, FD Signifier, and his take on the Kendrick versus Drake story. Notice I didn't say beef. I said story because this shit is bigger than a beef, and his take was very fascinating. Now, couple of points is, first one is, I know what you're thinking, 3 hours, who does this nigger think? Anyway, yeah, well, all I'm gonna say is, he's no different than another content creator I used to, listen to, only because they stopped putting out content, and it's, his name is, what was his name again? Make sure I get his name right, I don't like, fuck it up, is it Dave Carling, or is it Carling, Mr. History Hardcore Guy. Is it Dave Carling or History Hardcore. History Hardcore series. And the and his name is Dan Carling. Wrong D. Alright. Yeah. Am I right, ladies? Wrong D. Alright, okay. Dan Carling, yes. And his content was like long. But there was information. It wasn't like 3 hours of what I'm doing rambling on. I mean blah 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 with words. Nah, this is some professional shit. They do their research and some each one teach one shit. Anyways, yeah, so my point is first I gotta give FD Signifier this compliment that white people like to say to articulate black people, which is
he speaks so well.
And he speaks so well, yes, articulate brother. And two, so that the second point is I was gonna complain about the 3 hours till I saw that, yo, this thing got how many views? Millions. It's in the millions. It's got several millions and 100%. My point is there's an audience for what he's got to say. And it's not just the fact that he's got an audience. There's information. It's worth the while. So anyways, I think there was 5 chapters, so I'm on the 4th chapter. And my point is, check it out. It's worth checking out. Check it out. It's a good take, and maybe I won't say I'll summarize, but I'll probably discuss it on the next episode. Wow, man. Okay, that's a lot of talking. Okay. Emancipation Day. I found that out at work, and I remember the first time seeing the word that emancipation was a celebration, and it bothered me because I didn't like the idea that of celebrating something that should have never been taken away from us in the first place. If anyone should be celebrating, it should be white people. But with that said, at work they were talking a lot. I was triggered. There we go. I was triggered there for 2 reasons, and those 2 reasons will be covered in this episode. But the first reason is because I was thinking of Emancipation Day, and some posts, I'm part of this black employee network at work, and I think it's something they created to pacify us black folks, but that's a longer story. Anyway, whatever, man. It's I guess I'm saying, yo, I can't be talking that black shit at work. I might lose my job. Anyway, whatever, man. So in the Black Employee Network, they shared the fact that it's Emancipation Day today, and someone wrote celebration, someone kept it, whatever, man. But what bothered me is, so for those unfamiliar with Emancipation Day here, let me read the, from Britannica, right? It's the, okay, no, I was going to talk about slavery, Abolition Act, but Emancipation Day is a day celebration began on August 1st, 1834, when people of African descent in upper and lower Canada marked the end of more than 250 years of enslavement throughout the British Empire. Okay, that's Parks Canada saying this, but let me go straight to Wikipedia. The reason why it's important is because, okay, it's observed in many former European colonies in the Caribbean and areas of the United States on various dates to commemorate the emancipation of slaves of African descent. Okay, Trinidad and Tobago were the first one to have the to acknowledge this date. Now, reason it bothers me is because I kind of wish these white folks would do the story, because right now they're looking at, okay, this is the day that this is like to white people, this is like a happy ending. This is like the ending of a story in the movie. So to them, history is one big ass movie made by Hollywood, and the happy ending is Emancipation Day. When the truth is, they should look into Emancipation Day, specifically how the reason why the British government decided to abolish slavery wasn't because, you know, it wasn't because of the kindness of their heart, like white people want to believe, like they decided to get it right. Nah, it was, here, let me read the first paragraph. It goes, background, several factors led to the act passage, Slavery Abolition Act. Britain's economy was in a flux at the time, and a new system of international commerce emerged. Its slaveholding Caribbean colonies, which were largely focused on sugar production, could no longer compete with larger plantations. My point is this. Just like the United States, it was a business decision. It was a business decision. Now, grateful it happened, but the point is, it wasn't a bunch of people who came to their spirits and been like, you know what? What's going on? It's this slavery thing is bad. My little daughter is pissed off at this. All right. You know, it wasn't like they do in the movies. Nah, it was a fucking business decision. And to add to it, when they made that decision, part of the deal was compensating the slave owners for their loss of revenue. And where I'm going with this, it's less about that I'm pissed off that the story wasn't told properly, but also this is the kind of context from history that would teach us a lot about ourselves. I was reflecting on this whole, I'm going longer than I expected. Whatever, man, it's my goddamn podcast. I was reflecting on this idea of how slave owners were compensated. They weren't like, hey, what you did was bad, we're going to fine you. You need to help. No, they were compensated. And I think about the conflict in the Middle East. Israel, I'm going to call it Israel's genocide here. Acts of genocide. And I think about how all our politicians, Trudeau, in the United States, all their politicians are like, yeah, man, no, we're down with Israel. Pretending like a genocide is not being committed. Pretending like these motherfuckers are in the middle of committing the same crimes we are ashamed of committing ourselves. And it had me thinking about how, I wonder what the consequences would have been if if Joe Biden was like, you know what, nah, fuck that, Israel, you're fucking up. We can't back you on this. What I'm saying is, I think we live in a world, I think this message goes out to people who are telling themselves, I'm not voting because of what's going on in Palestine, because of the crimes being committed in Palestine. And what I think I want you to understand, you're doing a disservice to yourself because you don't understand how things work. There's a possibility that whoever comes into power has to play the fucking game. Like, on our end, the NDP, we have the NDP party. They can talk that shit about, we're not down with what's going on what's going on in Palestine. Them niggas ain't gonna win. They can talk that shit from the outside. They can be the people on the outside looking inside the club. I mean, I commend them. I respect that. But I'm starting to feel this ugly game of politics, this ugly world that we live in. The fact that they had to compensate slave owner tells you the power that they had. It's like, hey, you want us to play ball, you're going to have to cough up some dough. And I think what I'm getting at is, I get the feeling that I want to believe that Trudeau, the Trudeaus of the world, or even, I'll stick to the United States. Biden is like, dude, I got no choice. I got to ride with this bullshit. I got to ride with this shit. And the difference between whether Trump gets in power and whether Biden gets in power, Trump is like, fuck it. Fuck do I care? You know what I mean? Palestine never call me crackers. Palestinian never call me crackers. You know, sorry, that's a bad example. But he doesn't give a fuck. He's like, Benjamin, yeah, do whatever the fuck you want. I have to believe that if Biden, Kamala are in power, if they are rolling with this genocide, it's because they're in a position where they have to. If they want to be top dog, they got to roll with it. And the best they can do is, okay, hold on. Okay, look. Okay, you've murdered half the country. Can we stop there? They're not negotiating for a ceasefire. They're negotiating for, okay, all right. 10 hospitals have been bombed. Is it over now? It's like kind of climate change, right? I think of climate change as, they're not, okay, let's reverse everything that's going to prevent. No. They're trying to reduce the effect of climate change by like percentage, by inches away. So I won't be surprised if whatever the price it would take for Israel to back off, they can't pay it. I gotta believe it. I gotta believe that. That's what I'm saying. I'm believing that the best option the United States has when it comes to what's going on in Palestine is the motherfucker was saying, yeah, keep doing it. Now we got your back. Now, can we stop with the kids? Can we stop killing the kids? Like, the negotiation that's going on, you don't want to be part of it. It's not stop what you do. I'm thinking of the Malcolm X quote. It goes, how white people want to celebrate, constantly want to celebrate milestone when it comes to racism. And he's like, yo, fuck that. Motherfucker, you put a, I'm paraphrasing, needless to say, if you stick a knife in my back, I ain't celebrating the fact that you pulled it out an inch by 3 inches, every inches, whatever. I'm not celebrating that. I'm celebrating that motherfucker is out of my back. Again, point I'm making, I'm believing the world that we live in, being that we are in this quote-unquote developed part of these developed countries, part of being part of the developed country is accepting the dirt that it takes to be part of that developed country. Last point, I'm thinking of that scene in The Wire where D'Angelo's mother, I forget her name, is like talking to Avon about how, yo, man, basically complaining about the game. And Avon's reminding her, you like this couch? You like where you live in? You like this fucking house? Fuck, I gotta keep doing this asshole shit. I gotta continue being it. It's not as simple as just get out the game. Are you willing to live on a reduced income? I guess I'm trying to say is, I think the point that I'm making is, we've been pointing our fingers at the politicians, at these politicians, for what's going on, and for not ending what's going on over there, when we might be part of the problem. And not making an excuse for this. I'm just saying, I'm pointing out the ugly world that we live in. That genocide is on our hands too. Hey, look, shout out to those of you protesting. I'm not against it. But when it comes to affecting real change, anyways. All right, I spoke more than I wanted to. Needless to say, links are in the show notes. Now, I don't know why my eyes are so dry. Is it because I shut down the AC? Hold on a second. It must be because I shut down the AC. Okay. Anyways, yeah, my eyes just dried up like a motherfucker. Dried up like a hoe who's just been scared. Yeah, I mean, okay, that's a bad joke. All right, okay. Fucking nothing but bad jokes here. Okay, all right. Yeah, Emancipation Day. So before I get to the last thing that pissed me off, that triggered me today, let me some more shit that I want to share with you is, okay, I'm not going to play this clip, but this is Stephen A. Smith shared his thoughts on the opening ceremonies of 2024 Olympics. I didn't watch it. But one thing I will tell you, if you decide to watch it, link is in the show notes, is that it's the most American take ever. It's so American. It reminds, because basically he's complaining about how, the opening ceremony, the art, the creator, how the direction they went, and he's like, yo, this is gonna affect our elections. See, that's why people don't like you liberals. And the thing is, instead of looking at it from the perspective of, oh, that's how they do shit in that country, it's like, how your truth affected me. Anyways, watch it yourself. And I'm not really a fan of Stephen A. Smith. Like, I don't know him enough. I don't watch sports. I just know he talks a lot on air. And he's just a guy who talks, and it's part of, he's got the gift of gab. That's what it's part of making his money, is getting my attention. If I'm sharing this, it was just, it reminded me of the last time I used to live in the States, California in the Bay Area. And the first time I decided to watch, first day I was there, I watched the news. And I was fascinated at the fact that, holy fuck, their world news is local news. Why talk about the violence in other continent when they could talk about the violence in their own country? It's like they didn't give a fuck about what went on outside of the United States. It fascinated me. Anyways, I wonder if the only reason we as Canadians, we have to talk about the other world, is because we ain't got it like the Americans. We don't have the clout. We don't have the budget, the power to be able to, like, fuck the rest of the world. Nah, we have to give a fuck. We gotta pay attention to what's going on in the rest of the world. And whatever. Okay. Next. Okay. You know what? I said Waters. I don't see why I shouldn't give up. Whatever. Okay. I'm just gonna play it, man. And I go, I should have not let this thing get under my skin, but here we go.
Now, I don't see why any man would vote Democrat. It's not the party of virtue, security. It's not the party of strength. It's definitely not the party of family. And what? To be a man and then vote for a woman just because she's a woman is either childish, that person has mommy issues, or they're just trying to be accepted by other women. And I heard the scientists say the other day that when a man votes for a woman, he actually transitions into a woman.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, that's what the science says.
That's what the science says. That's not what I want to play. I wanted to play.
Shut your mouth, Kane, bitch.
Okay, I'll admit, the first time I heard this, it annoyed me. It triggered me. Because it took me back to the days of high school, and the jocks would be like, yo, you're not a man unless you suck this dick. You know what I mean? It's like, you're not a man unless you, what, you eat pussy? You're not a real man. It just took me back to those high school days. But now, after replaying, because this is the only reason why I'm sharing it. I'm sharing it because of the emotional outburst when I initially heard it. And now, re-listening to it, I'm like, dude, you're not his target audience. I mean, because that's some ignorant shit to say. He was better off saying 2 plus 2 equals 69. You know, it's like some ignorant it was really ignorant. Who I should be thinking about is the motherfuckers who are eating this up. Who knows? Maybe, you know, whoever. The motherfuckers eating this up probably are laughing at it while being like, yeah, you know what I mean? I'm a real man. I'm going to vote for Trump. I ain't voting for no bitches. Whatever. It's, but I think the real part, no, what really makes it funny is how, yeah, that's what the sign says. You vote for Kamala, you're a bitch. That's what he said. if you vote for, okay, I don't care. you vote for Kamala, you're a bitch. That's ignorant. But look who it's coming from. You don't allow this nobody to judge you? you know what? Okay. You know what? Yeah. I'm giving this shit too much attention. But it was like some... These conservatives are running out of like... These Republicans are running out of ways to diss, to attack Kamala Harris and the people who want to vote for her. All right. Speaking of which, all right, this I gotta play because it's a call to action for all black men. And it's a quote by Reverend, it's something, I labeled it in the show notes as something Reverend Terry Anderson of Lily Grove Missionary Baptist Church in Houston said, but it's also a call to action. And here we go. Let me play it.
On Kamala becoming the presidential nominee, I'm gonna confess, I wasn't too happy about that, but I'm all in now. I'm 100% now for this reason. This representative from Tennessee. Sorry, Connie, from Tennessee. He called her a DEI candidate. Uh-huh. And then they start calling her colored. Mm. Then they start calling her out of her name. And as a black man, uh-huh, I can't let no white man talk about no sister like that. And I not take offense to it. Right. Because who is more disqualified than Donald Trump? And Republicans are all in because he is the avatar for their grievance. How qualified does a black person have to be? Graduated at the top of her class at Howard. Went to law school, uh-huh, was attorney general of a state, uh-huh, a United States senator, uh-huh, a vice president of the United States, uh-huh, but she's not qualified? I'm all in.
I'm all in.
Because I'm not going to let any white man tell me how I ought to feel about a black person. Stony the road we've trod.
Uh-huh. Jabari Tribe. That's what's up. That's what's up. This shit's getting personal. Yeah, man. I mean, these white folks are getting disrespectful like a motherfucker. And, I can't stand with... Okay, needless to say, yo, on our Shut Up Podcast, is a firm endorser of Kamala Harris, even though we can't vote in the American election. But I'm saying is, yo, fuck it, man. Fellas, getting formation, man. I miss the days of the Nation of Islam where they would be like, yeah, man, you ain't gonna talk about our sisters like that. Sure, she eat pork, but that's our sister. You ain't gonna talk that shit. Now, of course, I'm sure there's some black men out there who are talking shit about Kamala Harris who have bought into Trump's bullshit or haven't bought in, but, you know, they don't like the idea of someone who doesn't have a penis holding the highest office of the highest office of the land. To them, I say,
shut your mouth, Kane, bitch.
Yeah, man, sit the fuck down, ho. Fuck that. You ain't down with us. You can't be down. You can't be saying you're down with black folks and disrespectful to black women. See what I mean? Or not recognize their position, their contribution. You know? It's like, oh, B, you trying to be a pick me. Yeah, suck my dick. I'm down with the people. Yeah. So, you know, I think it just changed my spirit hearing him say that. Now, I know some of you are thinking, hey, B, I thought you were an ex-Christian. Yeah, but I'm not a fucking idiot. I recognize good words when they need to be said, when good words are said. Yeah, but anyway, shout out to Reverend Terry Anderson. It was interesting hearing politics being talked in church, but who are we kidding? Well, then again, in African-American black churches, they're real about that shit. It's the churches I've gone here that I've been to in Canada. Yeah, it's bullshit. No, we're not into that politics, you know, unless it involves talking about gay marriage. Yeah, then we'll get involved in politics. Oh, there's a bug I had to kill. All right, okay. What's the next item on my... Yeah, but so shout out to the Reverend. Shout out to Reverend, all right? And shout out to the black churches in the United States doing their thing. For the people. The people, all right? Just for the people. All right. Okay. Okay, this... I did not watch it, but I'm not gonna read the article, but essentially, black journalist group sparks backlash for inviting Trump to its convention. Black journalists, okay? Trump is expected to participate in a Q&A at the National Association of Black Journalists annual convention in Chicago this week. Now, I had to read this article because at the time I remember word came out that, hey, Trump is going to be speaking at some convention at the NABJ convention. I had no idea what NABJ meant. It was just scrolling through my timeline. I'm like, what the fuck? What are people so upset at? Then I Google NABJ, National Association of Black Journalists. I'm like, what the fuck? Anyways, needless to say, it was the shit show that you expected, that you would have expected. I did not watch the whole thing because it was too much cringe and there was too much like... the clips that I didn't watch, and the one I got that I like is sister asking her question to one of the journalists, and apparently she's a star. Hold on, let me just get her name because she deserves to get props for this one. Basically, she held them under the fire. I'm not saying I'm endorsing this idea, but this one sister, she knew like this shit was a bad idea, but okay, her name is, she was wearing a bluish outfit. What the fuck was her name? Okay, here we go. NABJ, journalists interviewing Trump. Trudeau, what the fuck? Come on, give me her name. Yeah, go for research, AB Black. Okay, I'm scared. Okay, let me just click on. Oh, man, I ain't paying for this shit. Dear news sites, I ain't paying for this shit. I'm from the generation of... for president, what's the name of the journalist? The first question came from ABC Scott. Is that her? ABC's, oh, there we go. ABC's new senior congressional correspondent, Rachel Scott. Fox News anchor, Harry, okay, I think this is who I'm looking for. Rachel Scott, that's her name. Oh my God, man. Get to the point, BK. Wait, what? There we go. Rachel Scott. Follow. All right. So she starts off with a question, basically saying, hey, dude, you've called us niggers, cool, spicks, but I'm paraphrasing. She didn't use those words, right? But she summarized, as a natural journalist, all the shit, the shit that Trump has said about black journalists. And we're saying, why the fuck do you think you'd be down? you'd have our, we should support you. And this little bitch was like, whoa, well, this was rude. Oh, yeah, my favorite part was how he was like, look. Now that I think about it, it's kind of funny. First, he bitches about how the hostile question. He goes, wait, be a racist? And then he talks about how, look, it's bad enough you people are 30 minutes late because you couldn't get your equipment together. And, sorry, it reminded me of events that my dad would put on at his church. And, of course, we'd start out late, and I'd be like, you know, and because I'd worry about the white gaze, and I'm like, fuck, what are these white people thinking? It would start, so whatever. He kept bringing up how the event started out late. I'm not sure if that's true. But Trump is really good at sneak disses, sneak and direct disses towards black people. He knows what to say that his people are going to be like, yo, man, Mr. Trump. Now, a lot of people are telling themselves that it was a bad idea for Trump, like for his base, to watch him on there get beat up by this black woman. But it also shows that, yo, their leader, they're probably telling themselves, our leader might survive hostile environment. And plus, if he was racist, he wouldn't have done it. I guess what I'm saying is, yeah, I don't think this is the career-limiting move like people think it is. And also remember, this is the same man who was like, grab him by the pussy. Remember that moment? And we all thought that his career, his political career would end after that? Nah, nigga won the election. Anyways, whatever. Okay, where I'm going with this is, a lot of takes have been said about this arrangement. And the only thing I cared about is, what the fuck was senior management at NABG thinking by having him on? And apparently, the article that I have in the show notes, they go over it. And apparently, every year or every election or at these conventions, it's tradition to invite the people who are running for election. And they chose to stick with Trump, even though that dude is all about bullshit. And it had me thinking, because they were, you know, these people are getting criticized at a senior management, NABJ, the decision makers, right? Who greenlit having Trump on. And it had me thinking about how when you make a decision and it's unpopular, you know, you got to go with your gut. I understand that. But this was a shitty decision. And I just wanted to know why they did it. Apparently, it was just tradition at the same time. Hey, we need the attention. This dude is good for ratings. I don't know. I can't sit on that, right? But it did have me think about every time our black activists, I mean, in Ottawa, fucked up, did some bullshit. Like, the closest I can think about is, actually, this is not an activist situation. I remember my dad at his church. This one time, he had these two pastors on, right? One was black, the other one was white. They were from Quebec. brace yourself, Quebec, right? And essentially, they were both going on. Okay, so my dad was running a Haitian church, right? And both these assholes went on this rant about how, yeah, you Haitians need to quit that voodoo shit. Should have some voodoo. This is why. And this one white man, the white pastor, said some bullshit. It's like, yeah, man, Haiti is the throne of Satan because of this voodoo shit. Basically, it was talking shit about voodoo to Haitians. Now, they could get away with it because these were Christian Haitians. But I remember having them there. And I'm like, dude, if this was any other situation, you'd be leaving with your head chopped off. Like, I'd like machete to your head, homie. Like, I remember being so angry, but repressing that anger because I didn't want to make a scene. It just reminded me of shit black folks do. It's like, we're the ones who will be like open arms to bigots. And for what? Like, these guys have zero value to us. But we're like, well, Jesus will forgive. I don't know, whatever. It was just the weirdest thing. Now, I say all this because now I finally come to the second thing that triggered me, while at the same time praising our black activists. You know, every once in a while they get it right. Okay, that's not right. You know, I'm going to take the time to praise our local black activists. In this particular situation, it was, let me get this. The title is Federal Public Service Group Urge. Okay, Federal Public, okay. At a news conference, Parliament Hill, representative from the Coalition Against Workplace Discrimination, shout out to them, discussed an internal report that they say details discrimination within the Privy Council office. They call on the federal government to respond to the report and present recommendations to address what they say are systematic issues of racial discrimination in the public service. Speaking at the news conference is Nicholas Marcus Thomas, CEO of Black Class Action Suit. Okay, so shout out to them. Sharon D'Souza, National President of the Public Service Alliance of Canada. Okay, that's a union group. Nathan Pierre. I don't know how you say that in English, but in français, c'est Pierre. President of the Canadian Association of Professional Employees. Oh, that's another union group. And Larry Russo, Executive Vice President of Canadian Labor. Okay, in this particular case, I guess the black activist I'm really giving a shout out to is Nicholas Marcus Thompson. I've been seeing that dude's face. Hold on a second. Sorry, I thought it was a bug climbing up my leg. Yeah. Nicholas Marcus Thompson. I've been seeing that dude's face several often. And I remember the first time watching his face, I was going through my I was going through something. This was in 2020. I was going through something at work, and I remember I was it was fucked up that it set me on stress leave, that I had to take time off from work because, you know, I was about to murder some crackers and whatever, right? And I remember, because the racism at work was just like creeping in, which like just creeped in, and then finally it took a toll on me. But I remember going through that journey, stressed out, feeling alone, and going through my journey, and then reading this headline about this brother, Nicholas, putting out a class action suit, him and his people putting out a class action suit, organizing a class action suit against the federal government for the racism. Like, the idea that, oh, wait, it's not just me going through this shit. So he's been working, man. So I said I saw this in 2020, and we're at now 2024, and homie, he's still got his neck. He's got his foot on their necks. And recently this recent thing is they found a report, an internal report that was done for a department within the government that these white folks try to bury. And I guess it was like an internal survey done. And they had, hey, black people, tell us what you think about working in the government. He said, is this anonymous? Yes. You sure? Yes. Triple shirt? Yes. All right, then. And homeboy. Anyways, I read it. Yo, three people told me about this report. I didn't read the whole thing, but I did read the page 5 of the report and saw some similarities to my story. Now, the one story that white people will only understand will be like, well, they used the word nigger? Yeah, which is not uncommon. Welcome to Canada, man. Yeah, management using, dropping the N-word. And sometimes it's not just the fact that they drop the N-word, but they'll try to engage you at work in a quote-unquote intellectual debate about why the word nigger shouldn't bother you at work. And you're like, how badly do I need to live on my own? How badly do I need this job? How badly do I need to make these car payments? You're like, is this the day I go to jail? Anyway, yeah, man, I'm just, I'm glad that this happened. I'm disappointed that it's not bigger news, but, you know, this is Canada, right? In Canada, you got to be grateful of the fact that white people aren't calling you the N-word in your face, just in the background. And whatever. Okay, look, man. My point is, I'm just grateful for this news that came out. Right. The part that triggered me was reading that report and reading similarities to my story. And my first thought is, hey, did our department do a similar anonymous interview? Because I got stories to tell. And word is, I got word on the street is, when my homegirl who's familiar with this thing, she was telling me how, yo, a lot of the other government departments have done the similar survey, but they buried it. They've been hidden. So now it's like, because, you know, they don't want the embarrassment. Welcome to Canada. Anyways, yeah, shout out to them. So I went from my disappointment to the NABJ to my salute to the Black Class Action Suit organization and everyone else involved. All right. This is it. This concludes User Random Thought. Thank God, because I'm fucking getting hungry. But we're not done yet, boys and girls. We're not done yet. We still got the final act to go, which is Final Thought. So take your time, go to the washroom, do your thing, and let's go. Alright, okay. Final thought. Now, before I start this final thought, let me start a bit of poetry here. Let me start. I gotta drop some powerful verses for you kids. And it goes a little something like this. Like I said, this is episode 192, Cold Nights and Bloody Days. As in, I've seen some cold nights and bloody days.
Message!
I said, I've seen some cold nights and bloody days.
Message!
They grabbed me, bullet spray. They used me wrong, so I sing this song to this day. My body is cold steel for real. I was made to kill. That's why they keep me concealed. Under car seats, they sneak me in clubs. Been in hands of mad thugs. They feed me when they load me with bad slugs. 17 precisely, one in my head. They call me Desert Eagle. Semi-older with lead. I'm 7 inches, 4 pound. Been through so many towns. Ohio to Little Rock to Canarsie. Living harshly. Beat up and battered. They pull me out. I watch as niggas scattered. Making me kill. But what I feel, it never battered. When I'm empty, I'm quiet. Finding myself fiending to be fired. Oh my God. Let me repeat that. When I'm empty, I'm quiet. Finding myself fiending to be fired. A broken safety. Niggas place me in shells under beds. So I beg my next owner to be a thoroughbred. Keeping me full with hollow heads. And that's what's up with today's title. Today's title came from this verse, this particular... Oh, wait, I forgot to say. How you like me now? I go blah, it's the shit that moves crowd, making every ghetto foul. I might have took your first child, scarred your life, crippled your style. I give you power. I made you buck wild. Okay. All right. This is from... I mean, if you're a hip-hop head, you recognize this fine, divine verse, which I'm convinced was ghostwritten by God himself. God herself, and repeated by Nas, and from this, I Give You Power by Nas. Links are in the show notes. And why the fuck am I sharing this? Okay, so here's the part that I meant. The title of today's episode was initially going to be the sequel to the last episode, and in the last episode, I talked about it. Like I said, it was supposed to be. Thoughts on therapy, rant about therapy, and I concluded how, you know, the problem that I had wasn't really with therapy, it was something within myself. But I there was a point that I missed that I wanted to add, and it's the fact, I'm not going to speak long, right? I'm not going to, because again, this is like part two of the previous episode of 191. What's it called again? It goes, how do you get people to do what you want? And the quote comes from Tony Soprano in the scene when he's talking to Dr. Melfi, in the episode Employee of the Month. And by the way, Employee of the Month, trigger warning if you plan on watching that episode. And something really tragic happened to Dr. Melfi. And what he says touches on the theme of, yeah, getting people to do what you want. Like, if someone pisses you off, it's okay. Where I'm going with this is, I think one of the biggest challenges people have with therapy, people who aren't in therapy, is the idea that something tragic happens to you, you feel something, and your concern is, I don't want to go into therapy to be told what I'm feeling ain't right. I don't want to go into therapy and have someone cope with this bullshit. I talked about in a previous episode how I watched the movie Manchester by the Sea. Spoiler alert. Powerful movie, right? And it touches on, because I want to say, it touches on the theme of self-forgiveness, which was also a challenge for me, of forgiveness, but forgiving yourself. I'm hoping I'm not spoiling it, but the main character, something happens to him, goes for an event, and it was an accident, it was an unfortunate accident, but he can't help blaming himself for this accident. I won't lie, me as the viewer, I kept watching it through his eyes, and I'm being like, nah, fuck that. Ain't shit you could tell me to forgive. Everyone around him is like, yes, what happened was fucked up. You know what? Fuck it. Spoiler alert, all right? And I'm giving you fair warning, giving you time to hit stop on in case you plan on watching Manchester by the Sea. It's an old movie. You should have watched it, right? But essentially what happened is he... Because I got to give you the context. He puts on a fire. Like his house was cold. He puts on a fire. He was drunk when this had happened, right? He puts on a fire to warm up the house. Can't use the chauffage, the heater, the house heater, because it fucks with the it bothers the sinuses of his wife who's currently sick. But whatever, puts on a fire. Then he goes to the fridge, notices that he's out of beer, and he leaves to go get some beer. And he tells himself, I'm not sure. I guess when you put a fire, you're supposed to put some kind of protector. And he says, did I put that protector on? Anyways, grabs his beer, comes home, and his house is burnt down because it was a fire. And his three daughters are killed. So the movie is, homie, I guess, coping with that shit. And I won't lie, the highly sensitive person in me, the empathy, like, was watching it through his eyes, and I'm like, ain't shit you could tell. Like, I was trying to picture, okay, in the movie, he's surrounded by people trying to convince him, dude, it's not your fault, man. It's not your, come on. It was an accident. It's tragedy, but homie is like, nah, man. He's self-loathing. And I was picturing myself, I was so upset, less at the main character, more at myself, if that would have been me. I'm thinking of that joke by Sugar Sammy, where he goes, his girlfriend wakes up, and he goes, I had a bad dream that you cheated on me, or that you were mean to me. whatever, or that you were an asshole to me. And so I'm upset pretending I'm going through what the main character is. And ain't shit you could tell me about self-forgiveness in that moment. And I was picturing myself talking to my therapist about it. And she'd be saying how, nah, man, you got to let that shit go. And I'm like, nah, you know what? This session is over. I wouldn't have been able to forgive myself if I was in that situation. The guilt would have overwhelmed me. So in the last episode, the reason I was bringing up, my challenge is boundaries. We're having a discussion about boundaries, and it's been, so I have boundary issues, but setting boundaries. And I remember being a teen, how attractive, like struggling with, like, again, as a teen, I didn't know shit about boundaries. The closest thing I knew to boundaries, what attracted me, the only thing I knew about boundary was, you know what? I wouldn't have to worry about people treating me like a punk if I had a gun. And then not just gun, but the ability to inflict the violence. You know what I'm saying? I know I'm saying some fucked up shit, but, you know, my goddamn podcast. I remember watching the movie Juice. With the character, again, more spoiler alerts, Juice. And towards the end, after a several rewatch, going, you know what? I understand what Bishop was going through. I understand, I can understand snapping and being and looking at this pistol and being like, got yourself a gun. Hey, go figure that. Got yourself a gun and being like, I love that line goes, I got a Glock that says Pac runs the block. Like, I don't want to hear shit about using the eye language. Fuck an eye language. Give me a 9mm. Hold on a second. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I. Oh, shit. I'm going to write this poem. I'm about to say some deep shit. I is the ninth letter in the alphabet. So fuck the I language. I want a 9mm. Okay, I got to make a link between the ninth letter in the alphabet and I. But okay. Yes, I remember being introduced to the I language, you know, being able to express yourself about and say, like, you know, when you do this, I feel that. Or I feel like you think I'm a bitch. I think you think I'm a punk. I still need to practice the eye language. But I didn't like the idea of people doing bad things to me that I felt were bad, but I was the one who had to, like, accept it. I was the one who had to find coping mechanism. I fucking hated that idea. And I guess that's what this whole final thought is about, that feeling of, why the fuck do I gotta change? Why don't I make it so that they are the ones who's gotta change? Again, this is the part where the podcast where I said I'm not offering any solutions. I'm just reflecting on. I understand people who at first are like, yeah, fuck therapy. My dad did this to me. My mom, I went through this trauma, and I'm the one who's gotta pay the therapist a shitload of dollars. Fuck that. Let me take this money, buy me a pistol, buy me a bat, learn karate, learn Krav Maga, and I'm gonna fuck this nigga up. Call me nigger again. Do you know, I'm trying to relate. I'm trying to connect to that feeling of, I'm not gonna preach to you about you need to overcome it and go to therapy. I'm saying, this is me saying, I get it. I remember going through that phase. Yes. I titled this rant about why I gotta be the one to make the change. What is this? God grant me the first. Yeah, I think I understand. Yeah, why people don't want to go in recovery. Is that what it is? Is that pride? Is that what it is? Pride? L'orgueil? L'orgueil, pride, is that the same thing? Where, no, fuck that. I'm right. They're wrong. I guess in a good, in a like I talk about how it's a good thing. Look, if I win the lottery, fuck this year. Fuck this whole recovery shit. I'm going to be an asshole. Bow down to, yeah, man, you're going to be a victim of my traumas. You're going to be a victim of, I'm going to make you the victim of my victimization. Fuck talking it out. Fuck that, Rizzo. Fuck journaling. Fuck that. Fuck you. Blah, blah, blah. Is that 17? 16 shots in your ass, motherfucker. Yeah, it was. I don't need an apology. What I do need is to put these 6 bullets in you. All right, okay. Yeah, this is very violent. Hey, man, it's my goddamn podcast. All right, okay. Yeah, this is my mini rant on why I gotta change. I'm still doing it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying I'm not saying give in to that rage. I'm saying I understand the feeling of why the fuck do I gotta change? They should be the one changing. I got a colleague who's going through it right now. Someone I know, he's going through it. And I really want to tell him, dude, going to therapy. But that's what bothers me, man, with the average male. It's like, fuck therapy. No, that's for sick people. That's for people with problems. I'm too good for it. It bothers me, people who feel they're too good for therapy. And I think part of feeling too good for therapy is the idea of why the fuck do I have to change? They're the ones in the wrong. And I get it. I get it. I don't know how I went to... I can't explain how you go from that to, all right, to submitting. I think for me what happened is I had reached my wit's end. Yeah, by the time I decided to go into therapy, I was beat up and battered. I was like at my limit. I was like, okay, yeah. The thing is, you know, again, highly sensitive. It was like, I know I'm about to do something crazy. I need to talk to a professional because I'm past the point of keeping it together. Like I remember once I was getting high. I got high. This, you don't know when your brain scares the shit out of you, right? I was so high. I was at a friend's house, a date's house, but doesn't matter. I was at a friend's house, and I needed to take an Uber home. And I was scared about being in public. My brain kept scaring the shit out of me with scenes of, God forbid you hit a cop, you find a cop. I had an image of me getting pulled over, cop doing, basically blacking out and then waking up to pepper spray, tased, handcuffs, being on the ground, wondering what the fuck happened. The only thing I know is losing control. That's my point. Losing control and putting the cop in a situation where like, oh, I'm justified now. You guys might want to turn off these cameras. You guys might want to turn off. Because I'm about to do some biblical shit on this Negro. And whatever. I guess I have a fear of losing control. And that's what was waiting for me out there. That losing control was enough to scare into being like, you know what? Fuck it. Swallow your motherfucking pride. Get some help. We need to get some help. I don't know what it will take for whoever's listening out there for you to go from, yeah, I need to get some help. Okay, a lot of you might be that, yeah, I want to get some help, but I can't afford it. I understand that. But those of you who can, and your only reason, the only thing stopping you from getting help is pride. I don't know what to tell you. Except pride comes before the fall, some shit like that. Whatever. If you believe in that shit. Whatever. Yeah, okay, I'm going to stop there because I'm rambling on and running out of things to say here. With that said, this concludes today's episode. Again, did I mention it's fucking hot in this bitch? And I'm hungry. All right, yeah, this concludes today's episode. Hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed recording it in this hot-ass room on an empty stomach. After a long day's of work, you kids don't appreciate shit. All right, okay. I'm just trying to be funny. Okay. Holler at me. I'd like to, would love to hear your thoughts, you know, because it's getting a little lonely hearing my only thoughts here. So I'd like to hear from you. Go to shutuppodcast.com where you can holler at me. Or if you want, you can use a old-fashioned style and email me at shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Sorry, but my brain stopped. I was thinking about the old days where I was watching my favorite TV, children TV show, and they would give you an address. Succursale. What the fuck? P.O. Box. Whatever. Yeah. You can send us a letter. A letter? Fuck that. I got to get a stamp and that shit? Nah, you can email me at shutuppodcast. Sorry. I'm laughing that emails is today's letters. So shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Also on the website, you can find the RSS feed, so you can subscribe to this website in case your favorite podcatcher doesn't have me listed. And that's it. Yo, thank you for listening, and remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.